Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Monday, September the 12th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 27, a third paragraph down. He said to the doctor, reading through two paragraphs, ending with, I have never been successful with an alcoholic of your description, and will be commenting on both of those paragraphs. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Debbie P., the 12 Traditions, Juanice N., and the readers of the text are Lois P., Bonnie B., and Mary B. And the share ID for Sunday, September 11th, is 19,392. That's 19392. And just remind everybody, that was a special Sunday. It was a celebration of our 10th anniversary. And I hear that it's fabulous, so I'm going to go listen today. And for Monday, September the 12th, as the 7 a.m. meeting is 19,393. That's 19393. And our newcomer greeter is Lorraine Ann. An announcement person is Eileen M. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Debbie P. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. This is Debbie P., recovered compulsive overeater from Indiana. The 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
And thank you, Debbie P. And I will now ask Juanice N. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Juanice.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Juanice N., and I am a compulsive overeater in Simi Valley, California. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous, the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. And six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. O-Readers Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. O-Readers Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service. I pass.
Thank you very much, Juanice. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 27. We're the third paragraph down. And it starts with, he said to the doctor, through two paragraphs, ending with, I have never been successful with an alcoholic of your description. And we'll be commenting on both those paragraphs today. And I'm going to now ask Lois P., please get us started. Good morning, Lois.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. He said to the doctor, is there no exception? Yes, replied the doctor, there is. Exceptions to cases such as yours have been occurring since early times. Here and there, once in a while, alcoholics have had what are called vital spiritual experiences. To me, these occurrences are phenomena. They appear to be in the nature of huge emotional displacements and rearrangements. Ideas, emotions, and attitudes, which were once the guiding forces of the lives of these men, are suddenly cast aside to one side, and a completely new set of conceptions and motives begin to dominate them. In fact, I have been trying to produce some such emotional rearrangements within you. With many individuals, the methods which I employed are successful. But I have never been successful with an alcoholic of your description. Let me start with that last sentence. That's devastating to hear from someone who is on the verge of either dying or needing to have a breakthrough in their lives, and to hear that it's not going to happen for him must have been horrifying. However, within the context of the paragraph is the answer to his rebirth, to his salvation, to his changing his entire life. And that is to have a shift, to have a shift from the old way of being. This is what happened to me. My old concept of being Lois, of dealing with life head on with my own energy, my attitudes, my ways of being, was all I knew how to do. And that ended me up as an addictive person who was using food and earlier on other substances to cope with my life. So what this paragraph reveals to me is what happened to me and what is happening to many people. And God bless all of you who are just starting out. This will happen to you as well if you keep being here and staying with us. What has happened is that you get to a point, I got to a point where I was just exhausted from living my life the way it was, even though I had family, I was married, I had kids, I had good jobs, I had all kinds of good things, underneath there was something terribly wrong. And what was wrong was I was living from a place that I could never succeed from, and that was the small I, the small me. And what happened for me was there was a desperation, a moment where I finally collapsed spiritually and emotionally, and I opened and asked, I said, please take this. Take this life. Take my life. I didn't mean to kill myself. Take my life and use it because I have no use for it anymore. And in a state of complete surrender, excuse me, and just giving up, let me tell you, there's an incredible freedom and an incredible rebirth that can happen. As it says in here, huge emotional displacements and rearrangements occur. My ideas, my emotions, my attitudes, which were once the guiding forces of my life, changed. I gave it all up. I needed something different, something new, and I was done. So there is tremendous hope in this paragraph. And it's easier than we might think, but it does require that we step out of the driver's seat, we take our hands off the wheel of life, and we start living in a place of complete union with something greater. And asking at every moment, what should I do? How can I be of service? Shall I say this to her? Shall I do this? Once we do that and we open to that innocence and that state of surrender, heaven can occur. And we can live it here on earth in this body, in this life. Thank you. With that, I pass.
Right on the button. Thank you so much for getting us started, Lois. Great. Great paragraph. So, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So with that, I'm going to take names of those who would like to share on these two paragraphs this morning.
Melanie C. from Oregon.
Melanie C.
Debbie P. from Indiana.
Is that Daryl?
Daryl P.
Daryl P. Who was from Indiana?
Debbie P.
Debbie P. Thank you. Daryl P. I have Melanie C., Daryl P., Debbie P. Anybody else? Have it started?
Becca R.
Who was that? Becca R. Okay, gotcha, Becca. No one else? I don't want to. Let's move on. We'll start with those four. Melanie C., Daryl P., Debbie P., and Becca R. Good morning, Melanie.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Canby, Oregon. I was just basking in what the opening comments were. Thanks, Lois, so much for that. It just really, really hit home for me, and I'm grateful for that. I look over this particular paragraph, and I can't tell you how desperately I wanted to be an exception. Even in the rooms here, I wanted to be an exception because I just couldn't find my way. I describe myself as a wet, feral cat trying to fight my way out of a paper bag. And I couldn't even get it some days. It was quite an opportunity of challenges for me. But when I look over this whole thing, I'm struck by the idea that now there's two people that say, you know, we've tried all that we know to do, and it's heartbreaking for us, but there's got to be something outside of this. There's got to be something outside of our ability, our synthetic training that's going to make the difference here, because I've given you all I've got. All I've got for this number of years. I'm talking about Dr. Silkworth. He mentioned something like this as well as Dr. Jung here. And what a devastating blow that has got to be. I've had several of those myself, and I've heard other people get that kind of diagnosis. It puts you at some place, you know, finding that a death sentence has been given to you, at least for me. Now I think that Roland had some hope because he figured he was a good religious guy and he could get right back into that. I didn't have that. When I was given this particular death sentence, I think I probably put it upon myself because I tried so many other things. Where am I going to go? And I found myself again after about 17 years back into a hell-based way of living. I mean, really a hell-based way of living. If you could have been a fly on the wall, you know, I'm not kidding. At the doorstep of OA again, just angry that I had to be here, but I had nowhere else to go. You know, I just had no way, nowhere else to go. And if you can get some sort of image of what that must look like, somebody coming to your doorstep like that. And it saved my life. And one day at a time, like Lois was saying, there's this hope. And it's had to shift through and dig through and pick through a whole lot of stuff for me to get to the bottom of who and what I am every single day. And yesterday I had the opportunity to listen to so many other people share from such a vantage point of hopelessness to being able to live some sort of parallel life that is filled with joy and gratitude. Not always happy, not always, you know, mystical and magical and pixie dust and traipsing through fields of flowers. It is not, but I'm telling you, it's a bona fide way of living that makes good sense and tells me that I have definitely found a place that I'm an exception and I have been picked up out of. I don't know how come me. I felt that all day long yesterday. How come me? I am so grateful today, and with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Melanie C. Daryl P., followed by Debbie P. Good morning, Daryl.
Hey, good morning. This is Daryl P. from New Orleans, compulsive overeater, gratefully recovering, and glad to be in a meeting this morning. I'm really related to the speaker, and I love this passage. What I was thinking of about the reading is, you know, thank goodness. I know for me, you know, coddling and sweetness doesn't always work, but I love that the gauntlet was laid down, and basically it was like, well, you can't do this, you can't have this, because I know for me, that's how my brain works. People tell me no, or I can't do something, I'm like, I have to, you know. it's like just about the only thing that breaks through whatever particular brand of insanity I came out with. I do also really relate to this idea that letting go and letting God is kind of the only thing. And after many, many years of this program and other programs, you know, I'm really finding still, like, every day is learning, every day I have to surrender, every day I have to be open to the possibility that there is something greater than myself, and I have to ask for help. And you know, just keep showing up and asking for help and letting go and letting go and letting go and letting go. And this idea that that is how we, our powerless is our strength. It's just like the most unusual idea. And it's taken me a long time to get it, but it seems to be, I have seen it work, and I have seen it work, and I have seen it work, and I have seen magic, and I have seen people delivered from, you know, incomprehensible demoralization and a seemingly hopeless state of body and mind time and time again by just showing up. So here I am. I love you all, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Daryl P. We got Debbie P. followed by Becca R. And then we're going to take another list of names. Good morning, Debbie P.
Good morning. This is Debbie P. From Indiana, recovered compulsive overeater. I just had to speak today to this one because I thought for many, many years that I was the exception. That somehow I was going to make it through without spiritual help. I was going to do this with clenched hands. It was just something that I could do. I mean, even babies can control their food, was my attitude about that. And so anyway, many years of proving to myself that I can't do it alone. Hearing other people's stories that made me relate to not being able to do this alone and needing a higher power. And then also the difference between reading the big book and studying the big book really helped me put this into perspective that, you know, the solution is a power that's not me. And that's been a miracle. I do know that over my years of compulsive eating and not studying and or applying the steps to my life, I do get little God messages once in a while, just little bitty messages, but they're not enough to sustain any kind of abstinence or recovery. They are enough to get me to like my right foot in front of the left, but that's about it. And that also helped with hope that I heard earlier. You know, hope is everything in this program. And I didn't get to listen to Vision last week live, but I missed it live. I can always go back and listen to the recordings, but you're my medicine. You're my hope. And, you know, without my higher power, I am nothing. And I've seen many people that share and they talk about their, or actually not talk about, but you can see, I can see how people have changed from applying this program to their lives. And so have I. I don't take things so personal as I did, let's say, 6 months ago. I still take things personal and I still have a long way to go, but it's just not near as obvious, and it's not the first thing that comes up in my gut just once in a while, and we've got a 10th step for that. So anyway, thank you for letting me share today, and thank you all for being here, and I pass.
Thank you, Debbie P. Rebecca, after Rebecca R., I will take a list of names. Let me remind everybody who's just getting on the line where we're at. We are on page 27, the third paragraph down. Starting with, he said to the doctor, reading through two paragraphs, ending with, I have never been successful with an alcoholic of your description. And we're commenting on both those paragraphs, having a powerful meeting. Here we go. Becca R., you're on.
Hey, good morning. It's Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Kentucky. And what I heard this morning was just the gentleness of, you know, our old patterns are going to be replaced by new healthy patterns and ways of thinking and believing. But it doesn't say, what I don't hear is that it's going to be eradicated. I'm such a perfectionist, so I will latch on to that 1% of not acting or behaving or thinking in a way that is in line with program. And then I'll ruminate on that, on how this program must not be working because, you know, every now and then I struggle. So I just wanted to chime in on that, on the gentleness of the program. And like the previous shares mentioned, you know, it's written the way it's written because there is a level of humanity. Like I'm going to be human. There's going to be mistakes. And I'm so grateful that we have the maintenance steps, you know, 10, 11, and 12 to, you know, gently put me back on that beam when I fall off and I feel like the beam is so far away. But really, it's right there. It's right there. Just start where I'm at. Start today. It's good to be here. Thanks. I pass.
Thank you, Becca R. And so, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So, you haven't shared in the last 3 days, ask you to, you can give us your name today or anybody else.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Jennifer H.
Jennifer H.
Rhonda L.
K.
Rhonda, did I get a Rhonda L?
Yes, Rhonda L.
And who was after Rhonda?
Janice K.
Janice K. Yeah, I knew there was a K there. Thank you.
Jordan L.
Jordan L.
Nancy C.
Nancy C. Let's stop there. We'll see what we have left. Okay, I have Deborah G., Jennifer H., Rhonda L., Janice K., Jordan L., and Nancy C. Okay, let me see. We Deborah G., you're on. Setting my timer.
Oh, good morning, everyone. And oh, good morning, Mo. And thank you so much for being of service this morning for us and all those that have made this meeting possible this morning and all those that have shared already. Oh, thank you for 12-stepping me, reawakening me again today with all of this. And welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad that you're here. You don't ever have to live like you're living right now. And oh, I feel so grateful, like it's been shared that, you know, I'm grateful for the willingness to do what I do. I'm grateful that going through those beautiful 12 steps that don't happen by me, that happen to me, and going through them continually and living in steps 10, 11, and 12, that's what happens. That's that shift in my thinking, in my body, in my perspective. You know, I want to, you know, be so close to that divine loving presence so that I can be of service. Use me, use me, use me to help other people, to walk every day, be reminded to walk every day with an open heart, with everyone. You know, not just people in the program, everyone. You know, it's just a, I can breathe, a beautiful way of living as opposed to how I lived before. I think about that, how I lived before. It was so sad. It was so, no wonder I was always seeking ease and comfort with the food, because inside of me and my selfish, self-centered thinking was in insanity, and I didn't know how to deal with that. I didn't know how to deal with what was going on with my thinking and my emotions and everything else, and my life. My life was so unmanageable. So I would use food just to, you know, that was just that thinking, oh, this will help. Just briefly would I get ease and comfort, and then back to reality. And I'm learning that's what it is, reality, being able to live with reality, and that power, having that partnership with that power, because I have no power, and that power does it for me, not me. So thank you so much, and looking forward for the further shares that are coming up. Thank you.
And thank you, Deborah G., Jennifer H., followed by Rhonda L. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning. This is Jennifer H. in North Alabama. And when we went through this paragraph, when I went through it with my vision sponsor, when I first got here, you know, this part about vital spiritual experience, huge emotional displacement, rearrangement, cast everything to one side. What she said, and I wrote in the margin, was the only thing that has to change is everything. And you know, I really didn't know what any of this meant for sure, but I just knew that, and I couldn't really tell you or understand or describe what my frame of mind was, except for that I couldn't stop crying when I was talking to her. When I finally called her, you know, I couldn't stop crying, and I just knew that, I guess I was just at the end, and she said, well, are you willing to do this and this? And I said, I cannot imagine doing that, but I'm willing to try. And she said, well, that's exactly what I said. And so I don't know, I didn't know what was going to change or how everything was going to be hugely rearranged, but I guess I just kept doing the next thing in front of me. And I had a sponsee one time, and she described it like the huge rearrangement, like she used to, well, she said, now it's like I've joined the human race. And it's like before I was that, I would just sit in the back of the room and be sullen and not really want to be a part of for whatever my reasons were. And now, you know, you guys taught me how to walk into the room and be a part of and try to be of service and mostly just talk to each other in a real way, like we're really there, and just to being able to be a part of instead of apart from. And I know this one speaker, you know, when we get all through the steps, then we're always trying to grow in conscious contact. And he says that's the thing. Conscious contact is what we're doing, but what we did before was conscious separation. And I'm just so glad I don't have to have that separated feeling, because that separated feeling makes me start thinking about food. And I don't want to have that feeling anymore of being separated from you guys. So I'm really grateful to you guys for being here, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Jennifer H. Next up is Rhonda L., followed by Janice K.
Oh, hi, this is Rhonda. Good morning, how are you? This is Rhonda L. calling from Toronto, Canada. And, wow, this paragraph really describes me today. I had gone through the 12 steps, and I don't think I really, really felt a higher power. I mean, I did the prayers every day, the morning and the night, and I read them, but I didn't have it within me, and I was almost sort of faking it the way through. And on the weekend, something came over me, and I picked up, and I realized that it can happen in a split second, and I didn't really have that conscious contact with God. I mean, I guess I realized again that I'm the hopeless kind, and I finally felt that hopelessness again, and that I needed to get there fully to realize that the only thing for me is a spiritual solution. And yeah, it's just a sad reality. In a way, it's sad. In another way, I feel hopeful that I got to the bottom and that I can work my way back up again and do the work and really find my higher power and get well. So I just thank everybody for their support and for listening to everybody's shares. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Rhonda L. And next up, we have Janice K, followed by Jordan L. Sorry. Good morning, Rhonda. No, Janice K. All my names mixed up.
Oh, I think that what happens here, I suspect, in my opinion, for what it's worth, there's the big book goes a lot into the imagery of being catapulted or rocketed or moved into the fourth dimension. And many people look at that fourth dimension and say, well, that represents the addition of spirituality to the physical world. I think what we have in this paragraph is the psychologist's description of the spiritual state. It's interesting to me that the big book presents the realization as if it were as if it were one and done. Oh, that would be nice. I would love to not have to go through. AA talks about the process of addiction being like a cucumber becoming a pickle. Any cucumber can be a pickle, but once it's a pickle, it can't be a cucumber again. And I think that program is the process of the addict becoming something more. Bill had a mountaintop experience. Many people have that experience, and they get a glimpse of that light. And the light is what draws us on. We keep trying to get back up to the mountaintop. Crack open the wall, reduce the self-reliance. Eventually, we come to a point that we can reestablish that conscious contact. Page 56 has a further description. A young man tumbles out of bed in treatment and says, "Who am I to say there is no God?" And it describes his ongoing state as conscious companionship. Now, conscious companionship is a heck of a goal. That's the one I'm trying for. But at any rate, the mountaintop is there. Oh, Louie, anytime. No, enough. Stop. Good. Okay. The mountaintop is there. Anytime I give up my will. But the problem is, how do you stop being yourself? You don't. You take yourself and you run it through the washer and you run it through the dryer, and those are the steps. And every time you take the steps and take further action toward that, things get a little bit clearer and a little bit more of the defects wear away. So it's well worth it. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Jen. Sorry, Janice K. Next up, we have Jordan L., followed by Nancy C. We might have time for maybe one or two after that. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Thank you for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. So a couple of years ago, I took, I do like a lot of, the company that I worked for in 2019 believed in, leadership development and really, expected its employees to, do a lot of that working for them. So I did a lot of leadership development and training, working for this company, and we took a, I don't want to call it a test. It was sort of like a measure, of our strengths as leaders, back in 2019. And, I got some pretty like predictable results, as far as, but like my self-awareness and knowing a little bit about me, in the way of like, influential and, very strategic thinking. For me, I kind of translate that into self-will and that's okay. It's all good. Right. Self-will doesn't go away. Like my experience with, this, spiritual rearrangement and emotional displacements is that it gets used for a greater purpose, right? I don't really buy into the idea that of myself I am nothing and that it's all God. That just hasn't been my experience. My experience has been that in the beginning I had the heavier load and I really had to show up in a different way than I had been willing to show up in the world previous to this. The appendix in the back talks about the essentials of a spiritual experience being honesty, open-minded, and willing. and that was, like, I had to show up that way. Like, that was my end of the bargain. You know, that was my job description in this partnership that I have, that I'm building, creating with a God personal to me, you know. and I got to tell you, I got laid off in 2020. And I don't know, when you get laid off, you start like thinking about things differently than you ever have before. As far as like a career and how to make money and sort of your job in this world or your purpose in this world or whatever it is. And I took that same test a couple of months ago and got, or that same measure I want to call it a measure. I took that same measure a couple of months ago and got drastically different results, like the opposite end of the spectrum, completely and totally. And it kind of blew me away, you know, that now executing practical action was like top priority, and relationship building was top priority. Even in the context of my career, it kind of blew me away, because they say that your strengths don't change. Like, your strengths are your strengths. You're born with them and you die with them. Thanks, Mo, for letting me share. That's all I got.
All right. Thank you, Jordan. All right. And up we have Nancy C. And after Nancy C., I'll be taking a new lineup. Let me tell everybody where we're at. We're on page 27, the third paragraph down. He said to the doctor, I'm going to read two paragraphs, ending with an alcoholic of your description. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, Vision, for you. Thank you for your service, and thank you for everyone who makes this meeting possible, because this meeting really did point me to my vital spiritual experience. I'm Nancy C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and so grateful for this meeting. You know, I came into program in 2011 when I got fired from a very high-powered job, and it was really to show people that I could lose weight. So I came for the vanity, right? And for 8 years, I really had a fellowship with an optional program, and I couldn't get it. I didn't understand that I had a spiritual toolkit that was laid at my feet that could make me follow a spiritual path to find recovery and be rocketed into the fourth dimension. And then somebody in 2020 gave me this telephone number to call this line, and I called the line, and I was blown away by the evidence in this room that something worked in this program. And I had missed it for 8 years. I missed the whole point of just being open to a power greater than myself. I had had a very strong religion, but you know what? My God never gave me my pony. He never gave me my thinness. He never gave me the boyfriend or girlfriend. He never gave me anything I wanted. And you know why? Because it was me wanting it and me controlling everything. My selfishness, my self-centeredness just kept me in a morass of self-pity and unable to see how dark it is before the dawn. But laid at my feet when I came to this meeting and found a guide to take me through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous for a program of recovery for overeating, it solved all of my problems. And I was so desperate, God gave me a spiritual experience to just move through and do whatever was asked of me to find that recovery. And today, I am in the fourth dimension. Even on my worst day, it is so much better than it was before I found recovery and found this vital spiritual experience. If you're new, please continue to show up. Take somebody's hand, say you're new, and ask for help, and get through this program, because the vital change in my life has just really made every day a gift from God. And I am so grateful to be able to give it back to anybody who wants to take my hand. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Mo.
Hey. Thank you, Nancy. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I have room for one more share.
Crystal S.
Crystal S. You go, Crystal.
Oh, great. Thank you. Hi, good morning, everyone. My name is Crystal S. from California. I just wanted to jump in and continue to claim my seat. And thank you for everyone who shared. It's like ditto to so many things. You know, it's interesting. I was thinking about how before in the program, I had also taken a test, and it was like I was a severe introvert. And it was this weird thing on Saturday, our 16-year-old was like, hey, take this test. I was an extreme extrovert. I just think that is so funny. The disease just wants to keep me so wrapped up and cocooned in the icky. And as a result of this meeting, I walk every day instead of run. And oh my God, it was so beautiful today. And I'm just grateful that you all are here. So thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, with that, we have time for another share. Who would that like to be?
Debbie V from Virginia.
Debbie V. Gotcha. Go ahead, Debbie.
Thank you, Mo. Thank you, everyone, for your service. It's so wonderful to be saying that I'm recovered in Virginia from compulsive eating and truly feel recovered because of the promises and being able to recoil and to be able to have neutrality and to be able to be a member of this beautiful human race, this society, this community, and this fellowship. And something amazing happened. Talk about mental shifts. Our daughter came unexpectedly. Actually, she was 2 days late, never contacted us. And of course, we were worried and we thought, okay, well, we're not going to see her. She's relocating. And she wound up coming. She texted that she was already there on our property. And it was Sunday morning. And my partner was not feeling well, wife was not feeling well. And it's good that she turned away because she needed to do something when she told me that our daughter was there. And I paused and I prayed and I turned to a power greater than self. And I just asked, what do I do? It was just, I was in the middle of 100 different things, it felt like, and not mentally ready to have a guest. And so what happened was when I was able to show up, I was able to show up as a kind and loving mother. I was able to listen. And eventually we were both able to say, it was really a challenge for us when you came unexpectedly. And yes, we were really worried about you. And we listened. I listened. I was able to listen and hear and go beyond myself, which is such a miracle for someone who was contrary to that and who wasn't able to think of anything but myself in the throes of addiction. So I'm just grateful for this program. The psychic changes just keep coming and I see the progress and not perfection, and that's okay because it gives me more room to grow my higher power. Thanks for listening and everyone have a blessed day.
Well, thank you very much. And we have time for maybe 1 minute share. Somebody wants to do a 1 minute share. If not, we'll close the meeting.
Deborah V from New Jersey.
All right, Deborah, you got 1 minute.
Okay, great. Hi, this is Deborah V from the great state of New Jersey, compulsive overeater. I just wanted to thank everybody this morning for their shares. I thought they were very powerful, and the reading was also very powerful. And what it reminds me of for me was the great sense of denial that I had, and how I still wanted to believe, despite all the evidence, that somehow it was going to be different. And I'm grateful today to have the gift of desperation and the gift of understanding that I absolutely am powerless over this disease and that I need help. So I'm grateful to be here, and I'm so grateful you're all here as well. Have a great day, everybody. I pass.
Well, thank you very much, Deborah V. That was perfect timing. Thank you. And so we're going to now close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will ask, who do I have here? Bonnie B. to read a vision for you.
Thank you, Mo. Hi, everyone. Bonnie B. from Minnesota. Gratefully recovered. Thank you for the shares. Thank you for all the input today. It was beautiful. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your own relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of